is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. News for your soul. Life-changing broadcasts to souls around the world since January 1997.
Welcome to...
You are listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network.
It's time for Spirit Speaks with Lisa Virtue. Lisa permits Spirit to channel through her and deliver uplifting and helpful guidance to those in need. Get ready for today's very special message to guide us through our next steps in our challenging world. Let's welcome Lisa back to News for the Soul.
Welcome to Spirit Speaks, where angels and non-physical beings of pure love share their wisdom, perspectives, and tools to help you in your life. I'm your host, Lisa Virtue. And I channel spirit by allowing them to use my voice to speak directly to you. I'm also an energy healer, where through personal, customized sessions, I facilitate your transformation to your most amazing self. Spirit has been working with me for over a decade, and in that time, I've been witness to many miracles and life-changing moments. I've experienced a multitude in my own journey, so know firsthand what truly is possible. It is our desire, Spirit and myself, to support you in living your most authentic, beautiful life. My special guest today is Pam Montgomery. She's an herbalist and a teacher. She's an author of two books, and she has spent a lifetime dedicated to plants. I'd like Pam to tell you a bit more about herself and her background. So let me introduce you to our beautiful guest, Pam Montgomery. Welcome to the show, Pam.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here. And yes, I've been working with plants and trees and gardens and the outdoors nature pretty much my whole adult life, which now is getting to be a long time. And so, it's my passion. I just love it. I love the green beings, and I feel like I have learned so much from them, and it just keeps on. They're just like, the gift that keeps on giving. That's what they are. So it's been a lovely adventure for me, and it actually started back with my grandmother. I was one of those persons who had the great good fortune to have a grandmother that was. My grandparents lived in the eastern hills of Kentucky, which is, it's country, boy. It's like the salt of the earth. That's what you, when you hear that expression, that's what my grandparents were. And she was a real plant person. And she would go out in the afternoons and start picking and pruning with her plants. And she'd be talking the whole time. Mm. And I'd say, Granny, who are you talking to? And she said, well, in her very Kentucky accent, well, plants are just like people. They need friends, too. And I was like, oh. So she gave me that gift of like, oh, you're supposed to be in relationship with your plants. And that's what makes them grow beautifully, and that's what makes you feel so good and happy. And so that's what I thought. I from the beginning, I was like, oh, you talk to your plants. So that's my background and where I come from. And it's just been an amazing journey.
That's such a wonderful introduction. I love when people have that figure who says, no, you can do this. And of course, this is a thing. And so when we're young, we don't question that. And it can really enrich your life. But for those of us who maybe didn't have that, we get people like you who tell us, you can do this. So you have so many things to share. We're going to try to touch on everything in this hour. If we don't, we can do another one. But what are the subjects that you'd like to cover today? I know we've talked about it. But.
We have talked about it. And part of my thing is I feel like I have so much to share. And it's not just me. It's like it's really what the plants want to share with us, because I feel like they're just offering so much these days. And so I have a lot I want to share. So I want to talk about our symbiotic relationship with plants. And I want to touch on kind of our current times that we've been in for the last year and how that touches in with plants and nature. I want to talk about plant communication, which also means we would need to talk about heart coherence, because we enter that communicative place through our hearts. And I would love to be able to talk about co-creative partnership. And so, you know, let's see, I've got a list. And I want to do like a sweet meditation with everybody too, so that we can get connected to the plants. So
let's start with what's going on in the planet now, and what we can learn from nature and how that can be helpful.
Well, that's a big one. We've all been like heavily impacted here in this last year with this pandemic. That's what we're calling it here on the planet. And it's really interesting because I just recently did a survey on my mailing list and sent out this kind of questions like, how are you doing and how have you been impacted by nature or by the pandemic? How have you been impacted and how's that been for you with your relationship with nature? And I have to say, pretty much across the board, like most people said, nature and the plants and the trees saved me, like literally, like if it hadn't been for the plants or nature, you know, and all that goes with that. You know, when I say nature, the extension is plants and trees. So
right.
99% of all living organisms on the planet. And I see you've got all that beautiful, lovely growth that
yes.
I can see behind.
Today, I wanted to try to make sure I could show what the vista is here. It's the first time it's been quiet enough to do it. But for people that don't know, I'm living in Costa Rica, and the nature here is spectacular. So I definitely am living what you're talking about. We were living in an apartment by the highway before, and, you know, there is nature, but kind of shut into that room. And once we moved and were able to get out here, it just felt so much better. And I was so glad that I could be in lockdown up here instead of in my tiny little apartment. The nature made all the difference. It really did.
Well, I have to say, even the folks that I heard from, like from New York City, they were like, oh, I've got this little house plant and we communicated every day and it was so wonderful. And I mean, so even like you say, in your tiny little apartment, people were tuning in to plants and to nature just in the whatever way they could. And so I feel like these times are, and also, as you know, many places on the planet, the air has cleaned up and things have shifted, so less pollution. And so you have to look at it and go, well, okay, yeah, it's been kind of a drag for us not being together and all that. However, we've deepened our relationship with nature, perhaps, or with the plants or the trees, and the environment has benefited. So I feel like this whole virus might have come along for a reason. And I'm not negating what's happened in some people's families, and it's been really difficult, and I get all that. And some people would say that viruses, which have been with us since day one, and there's tons of them everywhere, and it's really a part of our virome and biome and all of that. And so some people would say that viruses are what drive evolution.
Right.
And that you need the kind of there's a stressor that needs to happen, and that's what drives evolution. And so then viruses come in, and some would say that they're actually upgrading our genetic.
That's fascinating.
So it's kind of like, you know, taking it all in. And
there's always some benefit you can. There's always a bright spot or a lesson that you can learn from any challenge. So I think the pandemic has offered a lot of opportunities for growth for people in their inner world, their spiritual, their lifestyle, so many places that people have been forced to stop and pay attention. And so, you know, I think the plants, you know, as we've seen, when we're not in harmony with nature, things can go awry. And
this is true.
This is giving a little example of that to us.
Yes, it is. And even I've been, you know, I do a lot of research. And so I've even been looking into like some of the powers that be are starting to say that as well. Something came out of Harvard recently, and their health institute there, and they were talking about how in order for us to our health to be balanced and all that, we have to, this is a quote, heal our broken relationship with nature. And I was like, thank goodness they're finally talking about this. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. We better do that. So that's kind of what I'm all about, to be honest, is like I'm about like being in relationship with nature. And it's, I mean, we're in relationship with nature because we breathe. Because right. Our breath comes right. From all the green beans. So that's a given. The relationship part is a given. We don't have to try to work at it or try to do something extra to make it happen. What I'm looking at is like, how do we bring it into a conscious relationship, conscious awareness, and it moves into like a co-creative partnership. We're here together. We're doing this together. And how do we do that? And how do we do this and create a sane world? And so anyway, I feel like it's so important right now for us to realize that this relationship with nature and with the plants and the trees is super important. It's like imperative right now.
And Pam, I mean, you've been working with the plants for so long. What sorts of things do you see as the benefit that we can have as we develop this relationship? And how do we develop this relationship?
Oh, my goodness. Well,
big question.
Yeah, okay. Let's start in the beginning, which is that, first of all, we're very symbiotically related to plants. We're closely related, some would say, and I would say this too, that we're more closely related to plants than we are to other animals. Oh. And everybody like, well, wait a minute, we're an animal, so we're really related to all these animals. Well, yeah, but the plants, all of our oxygen comes from the plants or the trees or sea plants, a lot from ocean plants as well. So all of our oxygen and all of our tissue, we don't make tissue from sunlight, plants do. So all of our food, and some people say, oh, but wait a minute, I eat meat, so therefore, well, and then that animal ate a plant that then you ate. So all of our food, and, you know, I would extend that also to like our medicine. I mean, I know that there's allopathic medicine that's been synthesized, but much of our medicine has come from plants or synthesized from plants. So on a physical level, I mean, we are like, we wouldn't have our life if it wasn't for plants.
Right.
So there's that. And then on an emotional level, there's this whole thing now called biophilia. Biophilia basically means love of natural processes or love of life, or, you know, I extend that to love of plants, love of nature. It's how we relate on an emotional level, because the whole, again, this whole kind of hypothesis about biophilia, they're actually in the science now, they're hunting for a gene in our genetic makeup. They're hunting for the gene that is that we need to be in close proximity to nature. It's a need. It's not a want. It's not like that. We absolutely need to be in close proximity to nature because of our symbiotic relationship and because we've like evolved with plants mm-hmm. since day one. And so we've had this long history with the plants and close proximity up until, oh, I don't know, what, 150 years ago?
That's, well, now forest bathing has become very popular, which, you know, as we've said, it's just a walk in nature, really, a walk in the woods. But it's have to be called something to make sure that we do it because yes. It is so important that people have results from it. And we only know that because they've gotten away from being with the plants and they're starting to feel that something's missing. And so
something's
when you
missing.
Go back there, you can really sense all this stuff. I mean, and you would know what's actually going on there, but I would know that it just feels good.
Yeah. The big one is the terpenes, especially if you go in like a, you know, evergreen forest or something like that. All these, it's like aromatherapy right there. There you are. You know, you're getting right. All these amazing, what's being emitted from the trees, and it takes in and it really boosts your immune system. I mean, you know, I look at the whole COVID thing and I'm like, okay, we should be taking walks in the woods every day to boost our immune system, if you have that option. And for those who don't live in beautiful areas like you and I live in, then take a walk in the park, you know, go into Central Park and go near a tree and hug it, you know. I mean, literally, it's all happening there too. So this whole thing with biophilia, it's about our love for nature and nature's love for us. And it really engenders that emotional peace where you feel like you just said, when you go out into nature that way, you go out into the forest, it's like, wow, you feel so much better. It's like, oh, this feels good. So good vibes, right?
Exactly.
So, anyway.
No, you said in nature's love for us. That tweaked me. It's like, what do we know about their perspective on human beings?
Well, I mean, again, kind of evolutionarily, plants have always preceded their animal counterparts in evolution, always. So what's happening right now? Where are we at right now evolutionarily is that I believe our evolution is now of a spiritual nature. It's like it's about raising consciousness. Mm-hmm. And so I pay attention, like, what's happening with the plants? What are the plants doing? Mm-hmm. Because if this theory holds, that would mean that they would evolve spiritually, there would be a spiritual evolution or a consciousness raising or biointelligence, whatever words you want to use. I'm spiritual. I like to use that word. So they're evolving. So to me, when I see that, I'm like, they care enough about us to like step up their own evolution to precede us so that we have them as like a guide to our spiritual evolution and our raising of consciousness. So like, back in the 60s, there was all this, you know, working with psychotropic plants and things that altered brain waves and all of that. And then there was flower essences, which are the vibratory resonance of the plant. And then there's plant spirit healing, which is what I'm working with. And then there's this piece that I'm also doing, which is I'm calling it plant initiations. And plant initiations are where, you know, an initiation, when you think of it kind of traditionally, was where the elders of the tribe would initiate the young people into the tribe and to what it means to be a part of the tribe and to be part of the collective in the same way. And so now what the plants are doing is their piece of evolution is to step up to become the elders, because most of the human elders are almost gone now. And so now who initiates us? You know, we're a culture full of uninitiated adults, which means we don't know how to live in the collective. We don't know how to live within the tribe. We don't know how to live in all of our diversity and be sane. Instead, we're just fighting with each other all the time. And so here's these plants that are doing this for us so that we can evolve. They are stepping it up. They're taking the place of the elders, initiating us into what it means to be truly human living within the collective. And so these initiations we're doing is like working with one plant for 3 days. That's what I'm doing, working with one plant for 3 days. We fast and then we make an elixir. So it needs to be a plant that you can ingest. And making an elixir, meaning putting together different kinds of preparations of the plant and ingesting it, and then doing all kinds of things with the plant, like embodying the plant and doing shamanic journeying with the plant and doing green breath, which is another whole process that we do with the plant. So anyway, this plant initiation, to me, going back to your question, which what do you mean, love of, you know, the plants love us, you know, our nature's love for us, plants' love for us, is that they want us to succeed. They do.
Well, it would certainly help them out, wouldn't it? we're not being so kind to them these days. So the more that we can have that, well, the initiation into our symbiosis, into the unity of how nature, you know, everything is dependent on each other, and we recognize that, then the more everything can thrive. So I can see why they would have a vested interest.
Yes, they do have a vested interest, yes. And so anyway, it's just my experience has been that plants don't betray you. Plants don't give up on you. They're here to feed you and bring you medicine. And yeah, that's my experience. So I feel like we're like the younger sibling or something, or we're the child and the plants are like the adults and they're just trying to bring us along, you know, come on, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. So anyway.
Wonderful. Now, you were talking about heart coherence. What's that all about?
Well, coherent heart rate variability is how you measure these days whether you have a healthy heart or not. And if you got hooked up on an EKG, the way it would look on a graph would, it's just a variableness. It's not all the same. It's variable. It's not like that. It's not jagged, any of that. So it shows up as a variability. And basically what that means is that when you're in coherence, you then entrain with the brain. And I'm actually including now the gut brain in that as well. There's actually this lovely syncopation that happens in internally and externally as well. And it, because the heart is the primary organ of perception, it's the one that does all the perceiving. I mean, your heart in fetal development, your heart is beating before the brain even starts to develop. So it is literally primary. It is number one. It's the first. And so it's the primary organ of perception. It gathers all the data from out here, brings it in. And when you're in coherence, when your heart's in coherence, all this comes in and your heart says, okay, great, here we go. This is the decision we need to make about all the touches that we're receiving and all the data that we're receiving. Okay, here's the decision. Sends those messages to the brain, and the brain carries it out. But the heart makes the decision, not the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been a big thing because there's this little saying, it's a long journey from the head to the heart. Because our culture especially is so like heady. I mean, there's a lot going, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening from up here. And the heart kind of gets put aside. It's like, oh, that's emotion, that's sentimentality, you know, like, oh, you know, to the Hallmark card department of sentimentality. When it really is the job of the heart to be the primary organ of perception. So anyway, so what we want to do is bring the heart into coherence, and so that it can sit on the throne calling all the shots in its rightful place. The way that we do that is we give these positive impulses to the heart. So a positive impulse would be like appreciation and gratitude. That is a huge positive impulse to the heart. And it's not necessarily about thinking about appreciation or thinking about gratitude. It's like being in the state of it. Mm. You know, it's a state of being. And so that is like a huge positive impulse to the heart. And that one's relatively easy, I think, one to do. It puts us into coherence. And then there's things like forgiveness. That's a little trickier because that means somebody done you wrong. And so, you know, forgiveness is one of those places of like, you know, when you hold a grudge like that and you can't forgive, it's like a vice grip on your heart. It's just like hardens the heart. It's just like, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's this great book called The Heart Math Solution.
Right.
It sounds kind of a funny little title, but they're doing all kinds of work on heart coherence and on positive impulses to the heart. So just if anybody wants to check out that book, that's a good one. But there's a great quote. I'm gonna read you the quote from that book. Forgiving releases you from the punishment of a self-made prison in which you are both the jailed and the jailer.
Yeah.
I'll say it one more time. Forgiving releases you from the punishment of a self-made prison in which you are both the jailed and the jailer. So it's like when you can't forgive, it's like a double whammy.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Like they say, when you want to hurt somebody by giving them poison, but then you end up being the one ingesting the poison and you're the one poisoned and you fall backwards. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, and it's a huge power leak. It's like you're giving over your power to somebody or something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, you know, and I know that forgiveness is like a whole spiritual path in and of itself for a lifetime or two. But what it does is it leads to compassion. When you can forgive, and there's all kinds of suffering that occurs from not forgiving. But then it leads to, when you can, it leads to compassion, where you actually can feel like you want to do something about the suffering. You know, you want to do something about your own suffering or somebody else's suffering or the suffering of humanity or the suffering of the planet. It just leads to this bigger place in your heart where you can step into that bigger place of compassion. So it's quite powerful if you can do it. So so that's another huge positive impulse of the heart. Another one is innocent perception, otherwise known as non-judgment. Again, a little trickier to do. And with plants, it's like going into it like with the eyes of a child. It's like as if you're seeing it fresh, like for the first time. It's like, you know, you go out to dandelion and you're like, well, you know, I've been working with dandelion for 20 some years now. Like, whatever, you know, what more is there to know about dandelion? That just slams the door shut because, again, the plants are evolving along with us too. And they're also evolving with in their chemical constituents are shifting and changing. They're, you know, there's a lot going on here. So if you close the door to the plant you think you know really, really well because you've been working with it for 20 years, then you might miss something. You might miss the fact that, oh, now this plant is really going to be helpful for chemical sensitivities, for example, or all the EMS, all the electromagnetic, you know, stuff that's going on out there that you might be sensitive to. So the point being here is that it's important to stay open to fresh eyes, fresh perception, open heart, and, you know, non-judgment.
We could do that with people as well. You know, if we, knew someone 30 years ago and we only ever continue to see them in that light, well, they've had 30 years to grow and develop and progress.
Right.
And if we come back at them with, well, what have you become? What's new? And without holding them to something. So I think to plants, to anything,
Imagine if you walk through the door at night and there's your partner, and you look at them as if you're seeing them for the first time. Wow. You know, instead of like having them in this little box and all slotted, you know.
That's right.
And it's just a whole different. So it's really like innocent perception means that. It's like, you know, with fresh eyes, with a fresh way of looking, no judgment. And again, that's another one that's a little tricky to do because we do tend to judge. And I'm not talking about discernment. Discernment is different. Discernment keeps you safe, you know. But I'm talking about like, oh, you know, that person, blah, 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 you know. And it really begins with ourselves. Stop judging ourselves. Then we stop judging our family. Then we stop judging our community and stop judging our government. You know, it just goes on and on. Anyway, it's a huge positive impulse to the heart, puts the heart back on the throne, calling all the shots, puts the heart into coherence. And then the last one is care. And care is another one that's just so beautiful. And however, for those of us who might be practitioners or whatever, there is this thing of overcare. So we have to be careful not to do that and just remember that to take care of ourselves as well. But care is another very positive impulse.
Balance in all things,
Balance in all things. So this is what heart coherence is all about. And it what it does is, you know, you give these positive impulses to the heart and it goes into coherence. It synchronizes everything internally. You know, everything just works in this beauty. And there's all kinds of ways that the brain and the heart entrain with each other, but that'll be for another time. Because that gets a little more, you know, detailed and everything. But then what is so beautiful that happens when we're in coherence like this, we are able to release a hormone. This is another way we're kind of hardwired here to make this connection with the plants and with nature. It releases a hormone called oxytocin. And many people know about oxytocin because of the birthing process, because oxytocin gets released from the heart and the hypothalamus, but it oftentimes gets released during like peak experiences. So birth, death, orgasm, beautiful sunsets, you know, it's like that. It's when you like catch your breath. You kind of go, you know, it's that wonder. It's that awe. It's that like, oh my gosh. And you get, you know, start to get the little goosebumpies.
Yeah.
Somebody just came up with it. She said bonding bumps. She called them bonding bumps. We were talking about this because oxytocin is called the bonding hormone.
Right.
That's its name, the bonding hormone. And it's literally how we make the connection. It's how we connect mm-hmm. to ourselves, connect to each other, connect to nature, connect to the plants, connect to animals. It's how we connect. And what this hormone does, it initiates what's called the restorative response.
Mm-hmm.
Very different from the stress response.
Yes, definitely very different.
Very different. And these days, I mean, gosh, what I'm seeing is the stress response. It's almost 24/7 how much
Truly.
Stress response is going on out there. And it's just like, and we all know that stress is, it's one of the big killers. It really is. Because it really, and when you have constant stress, it just sets a whole chain of events into motion that is not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've actually specialized in teaching restorative yoga and yin yoga,
okay.
which are both ones to help mitigate that because it's so prevalent.
Yeah.
You know, you just
yeah.
have to take that time. Like, we have to schedule time to relax, to be
yeah.
to take that stress away. So
yeah. Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. So you know what I'm talking about. So we really want to make that switch. We want to make the switch from stress response to restorative response. And the way we're going to do that is to get with our hearts, give positive impulses to the heart, get into heart coherence, let the oxytocin get released, which, you know, you can feel it. You can feel when the oxytocin releases. It's kind of like a warm flush. It's not flushing necessarily, but you just feel this warm flush, or your chest feel kind of full, like a full glass of water or something that's starting to overflow. And mm-hmm. and oftentimes you get the goosebumps, the bonding bumps, and it's just like you're in that aha moment, or the moment, or the wonderment. The wow moment, which is, I put together some words that would be W-O-W, which is wake up openly to wonder. Wake up openly to wonder.
I like that.
So it's the wow. You know, it's like the wonder moment. So anyway, that's why we really want to be in heart coherence. It's so important.
And so I didn't share this before, but I met Pam many years ago when I took her plant communication workshop. And I remember how heart coherence is so important to being able to connect with the plants coming from the heart. So maybe we can segue now into talking about plant communication, and you can explain to us, you know, what that is, what that involves, and maybe a bit of how we would do that.
Well, again, we want to begin in our hearts. And so that's why we, you know, talk about heart coherence and how to get there. And that's always where you're coming from when you're working. I think it should be where you're coming from all the time, no matter what. With doesn't matter whether it's nature or plants or animals or people. It's, you know,
yes,
it's always good to come
absolutely.
From the heart, right? So, but especially with the plants, because this is not a figure it out thing. It's not a brain thing. And what I find in working with my students and stuff is if they can't get out of their heads, they just struggle. And so as much as you can be in your heart to begin with, that's where you start from. And going into that place of appreciation. So, and that's kind of like looking for the beauty. So one way of beginning your communications, if you're working with a plant that maybe you feel like it's really hard to love it, or to feel like, oh, it's really easy to love a rose,
mm-hmm.
or it's really easy to love a plant that smells really good, like lavender or something like that. It's a little harder to love poison ivy or poison oak or an invasive species. Those are the ones that are really getting dissed these days as invasive species, or even a plant that might be diseased or something like that. So mm-hmm. what I encourage folks to do is look for the beauty. Beauty everywhere. And every plant and tree is here for a reason. We're all here for a reason, all of us. We all have gifts that we've come in with. That's why we're here. Our job is to share them. And so it's the same with the plants. And so I'll tell you a quick little story about poison ivy, which is that I was the calamine lotion queen when I was a kid. My mom, I had pink all over me because I was extremely allergic to poison ivy. And I was living in the Hudson Valley at the time and on an old farm that had an old orchard that had been taken out. But it had been chemicalized and everything. There was lots of poison ivy. There was tons of it. What happened was one winter, I got a rash all over the side of my face. The entire side of my face. And I'm putting oils on it and everything, and it just keeps spreading.
Oh.
And I went to my daughter's school. She was young at that time. And this little girl looks up at me, and she says, "How come you got pizza all over your face?" And I went, "That's it. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to stare in the mirror. I'm going to figure out what this is." And I go home, and I stared in the mirror for the longest time. And I went, "Oh, this is poison ivy. Like, how the heck did I get poison ivy on my face in the wintertime?" Then I was like, "Oh, let me go check the wood that we're burning in the wood stove." And sure enough, there were poison ivy vines on this that were still had resin in them. And I probably handled a piece of wood and then sat down with a cup of tea like this. Uh-huh. I got poison ivy off. So I was like, okay. Obviously, my relationship with poison ivy needs to change. There's a problem here. And so the next spring, I went and sat with poison ivy, and I'm like, I know that you have a fabulous gift here that you're offering on the planet. I'm not quite sure what it is, but I know you must be bringing a gift here. And I have this garden here that I just love, and you're kind of in and amongst it, and I'm really allergic to you, and it's really uncomfortable. Is there something we can do here? is there can we shift our relationship? What can we do? And poison ivy was like, "Sure, we can do something." And I've never had poison ivy again since then. And now, but this was a deal. So then my part of the deal was that because one of poison ivy's big gifts is it's a protector plant. It protects the earth. And this land had been really abused, and the poison ivy was there, and it was really protecting it. And so my part of the deal was I needed to become the protector of the land. So poison ivy didn't have to do that anymore, and poison ivy could leave. It could recede. And so that's what I did. So I told you that story because part of our communication begins with looking at the beauty in the plant and looking at its gifts. That's a big one. And then the sensory awareness. We have our lovely senses, which is a lot how we interact with our environment, is through our senses. And so you smell, you touch, you taste, you listen, you feel it, you observe it. Deep observation is really a big one. So, going through sensory awareness, then there's felt sensation, which is that plants, just like people, have, just like anything alive, has a vibratory resonance. We all carry a vibratory resonance. And when you're working with the plants, and this is in the science, by the way, that plants have a greater ability to fine-tune their resonance to you than we do to them. So they can fine-tune to us better than we can fine-tune to them. And so if we just kind of get ourselves out of the way a little bit, something, we're controlling everything and we're making it happen, and realize that actually the plants are making a lot happen here. And just, so this felt sensation, it's a sensation in your body. So it could be like, a fluttering in your heart or a knot in your gut. Or one of my felt sensations is everything gets fat, like my hands get fat, like they expand. Okay. And I know now that that means now I'm in an expanded state. That means I'm hooked up, I'm connected is what that means. But every plant has a vibratory resonance that you can feel as a sensation, not an emotion, as a sensation in your body. And when you identify that sensation, you can call it back up. So it's like, instead of, okay, I'm going to go sit with this plant, and maybe if I'm lucky, I'll make a connection. Wouldn't that be nice? this takes it out of that random place, because you now you've got this sensation that you, it's called putting a handle on it. You put a handle on it. So like I call this elephantitis. It's not elephantiasis, which is the disease. Elephantitis is like, oh, this must be what it feels like to be an elephant. That's what the sensation of my hands getting big, my feet get big, everything gets big. It's like, oh, this must be what it feels like to be an elephant. That's the handle I put on it. So when I say, I can sit here and say elephantitis, and I can feel my hands starting to get bigger, that means I am working through that sensation that I originally got way back when, and I can call it back up. Mm-hmm. So you get a sensation from a plant, and you can clearly identify it, clearly make a connection with exactly describing it, and you're, boom, right there. You're right back in that connecting place with the plant. Uh-huh. So like white pine, a tree, a white pine is like, you know, here on the East Coast, like the pines are like the redwoods of the West, that are the white pines, big, tall trees, beautiful. And I am and so in love with white pines. And white pine for me is a posture. It's like my shoulders go back. I stand tall and straight in the center of my being, and here I am. And it's tower of strength, tower of strength. And I can't even tell you how many times tower of strength has come to my aid. Mm. Standing on a street corner in London after a volcano went off in Iceland, and I couldn't get home on an airplane, and somebody said, go out and take the red bus, and I walked out on the corner, and all the buses are red. And I was like, oh, my God. I stood right there on that street corner with my luggage and everything that I was dragging with me, and I said, okay, tower of strength, white pine, I need your help, and I need it now. And sure enough, here comes this lovely little businessman walking down the street of Indian descent from India, comes walking down the street and sees, like, big tears rolling down my cheeks. He said, oh, can I help you? I have to go to Ireland because my friends are there and I can't get back to the United States. And so I'm going to go to Ireland, but I have to catch a boat. And then I have to take a train to a boat. And he said, oh, okay, I'll take you. He said, here. And he got out his little Palm Pilot or whatever he had. And he was like looking for the schedules and everything. And the bus came along that was the right one. And he said, okay, here, come along. We'll go on this one. And it was like, I'm telling you, it was like a miracle happened on that street corner. But it was because I called on white pine. But it was the tower of strength. And there I was, right there with white pine. I said, I need your help, and I need it now. Mm. Like, we can't wait. I need it now. And boom, it was right there. That's so wonderful. Just, you know, there's all these ways, you know. Then there's the dream time, going into the dream time, daydreams, nighttime dreams, shamanic dream journeys. And so there's so many different ways that we can communicate.
And can you communicate just, I know the answers, but I'm still asking for people anyway. Can you just talk to them? Can you talk to them directly, like ask questions, or how does that work?
Well, it's about kind of learning a different language. It's like, you know, you learn Spanish. Others speak different languages, and so you need to learn that language. And it's the same with plants. It's like you need to learn their language. And one of the big things that about their language is that, and this is kind of true in all the biological world, of the foundational way in which we communicate in the biological world is through light and sound. Hmm. And again, this is all in the science, light and sound. And so it's biophotons, light, at the nucleus of the cell, on a DNA level here, at the nucleus of the cell, we have what's called biophotons. And plants have biophotons. Hmm. And then there's biophonons, which is sound. So there's, which, you know, it's the vibratory resonance. And so light and sound are foundational across the board in the biological world. So for example, when my biophotons are like connecting with my plant's biophotons, we're communicating because that's how it works. And so there's this great man, his name is Fritz Popp, P-O-P-P, Fritz Popp. He's a German biophysicist, and he's done all this amazing research on biophotons. So he is, and we're talking cancer and things like that. We're talking heavy-duty stuff. And, you know, people are going to say, well, how does he do this? I'm guessing it's through a machine. He's giving biophotons of plants. He's transmitting them to people with cancer. And what's happening, he calls at the nucleus of the cell, the pattern of the light is being re-informed or repatterned by the light from the plant.
Wow.
And that's the thing, especially with cancer cells, is that the light, he says, the light goes awry. And the biophotons from the plant come in and repattern the light at the nucleus of the cell toward health and balance. Wow. And it's just like, and I'm sitting here going, wow, now that's leading edge. You want to talk about leading edge? Now that's where I want to go. And so, but this is how we communicate. We communicate through light and sound. So what does that mean for us on a practical level? I really encourage my students to do like toning with a plant. You know, there's toning, like the tone for the heart chakra is you know, I tone with my plants or sing to your plants or play music to your plants. And as you know, the plants do sing back to us when we're able to hook up with them. But that's, again, that's another story for another time. But and with light, it's like, you know, you look out, like look around you. I mean, you've got all this green and your heart chakra is the color green. And I look at the color green and say, oh, well, that's an expression of the plants and trees love for us because it's hitting me right here in my heart chakra, that green color. And we see green because of the, it's vibrating at the wavelength and the frequency of green. And so we can tap into the light through color, because that's how we experience color. That's what we see. We see in this narrow band in the spectrum, but there's UV and infrared too. So there's light on the outside of what we see. Mm-hmm. Might not see it, but it doesn't mean it's not there. So we work with light on that way too.
And I think because I do channeling with spirit and communicate with spirit that way, I've found that in some of my, when I've chosen to communicate with a plant, that I get it interpreted in English for me, because I find that happens for me with spirit as well. It's whatever the intention's coming through, my processors translate it for me. And so there's been a few times I've had some very powerful interactions with plants. And just quickly, I have a bougainvillea plant here that I just love, but it wasn't really blooming very well. And so I'm like, okay, I got to connect and find out what's going on. And there's one next door that is blooming like I've never seen them bloom before. And so I actually went next door and kind of tuned in remotely to my plant. And it was asking me to look very specifically at different parts of that plant so it could see what was possible, because I feel like it didn't know what was possible. It's in a pot. It hasn't seen other bougainvilleas. And I was showing it how many blooms, and it was like, how many leaves does it have? And the next day it started, and it was incredible. I've never seen it bloom like that before. And it was thanking me for showing it what was possible.
Yeah.
And that just amazed me. I mean, I didn't think of that level of connection with the plants, but I just, like a child just approached it for the first time. Why not? Why put a restrictor on it and let it be open? And then the results really, really floored me. So all sorts of things are possible.
I would say the sky's the limit, because, or the cosmos is the limit. You know, it's like, I feel like these plant beings are so intelligent and so, the word I use is magnanimous. It kind of blows me away how incredible they are and how giving they are and how just exactly what you just described. Absolutely. And we talked a little bit about this little story with Cleve Baxter, who was the lie detector guy back a few years back. And he hooked up plants to his lie detector. And he did all these experiments at university, and he was working with these students, and so he had one student in like another part of the building, a plant over here, who he had that student light a match to a leaf of the plant. So it's kind of like shocks a plant. And then in another part of the building, another part of the campus, a different species of plant, not even the same species of plant. Nobody knew who the student was that lit the match. And he had all the students walk past this other plant. And again, this plant was hooked up to his little machine. And the minute the kid who lit the match walked past it, it was like, all the dials started going and all the knobs, everything started going. And so this plant knew what happened to that plant over there and who it was that did it.
That's amazing.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I think there's so much that can just blow our minds, and there's so much more available to us that we're just starting to find out about. I think this field could really develop so deeply. 100 years from now, we would be amazed at what's going on with plant communication and interspecies cooperation.
So we're coming to the end of our time. Unfortunately, Pam, I don't think we're going to be able to fit the meditation into the radio show, but we will fit it in to the YouTube version. So for those of you who'd like to do the meditation, that will be posted in about 3 weeks' time, and you can find it through my website, lisavirtue.com. And before we go, Pam, I'd love if you could share with people how they can get in touch with you and learn more and delve more deeply into this amazing world of plants.
Well, you can go to my website, which is wakeuptonature.com. So www.wakeuptonature.com, and that tells you what I'm up to. I do have an online course coming up. It will launch, it will become active on May 1st, which is co-creative partnership with nature. So it's all the stuff we've talked about today and a whole lot more. So that's happening as well.
Wonderful.
So that's how you can be in touch. I also have a book, a couple books actually, Plant Spirit Healing, A Guide to Working with Plant Consciousness. You might want to check out. Or Partner Earth is a spiritual ecology. That's my other book.
Wonderful. Well, I'll put those up on the screen for people to see. And, of course, they can purchase that where they can find books everywhere or through your website.
Yeah.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you for sharing your time with us and opening us to what's possible with plants. And we just touched on it. There's so much more. So I encourage anyone who this has struck a chord for to delve more deeply, and there's a wonderful world awaiting, a green world.
That's right, a big, fat green world.
All right. Thank you so much, Pam.
Thank you so much. It's been great to be with you.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Remember, next show is our last one on News for the Soul. It will be a live call-in on May 5th. So you can tune in and listen to what Spirit has to share. You can ask questions, or you can offer your comments on how Spirit Speaks has impacted you over the last 2 years. Spirit has had so much wisdom to share with us, and our special guests have been truly inspirational in opening our eyes to all sorts of new possibilities out there. If you'd like to hear more special guests, I will continue doing those on YouTube. And if you'd like to hear more from Spirit, you can join me once a month for a conference call where you can ask your questions. You can sign up for that on my website. Thank you for listening. For information on my guests and details of my offerings, as well as past episodes of Spirit Speaks and the show schedule, head to lisavirtue.com. That's LISAVIRTUE.com. If you would like to talk to Spirit or create a deep transformation in your life, email me. Lisa@lisavirtue.com. There's something so rich and wonderful in that personal connection that really makes you feel heard and known. I look forward to connecting with you, both personally and on the next show in 2 weeks' time. Until then, remember, live your authentic life.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.